105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent _ biz.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the BizConnect radio show. We've got a packed studio as always today, and I'm delighted that I actually have a co-host with me today as well, Charlie Graham O'Gillam.
Good afternoon, Martin. It's great to be back.
Good afternoon, Charlie. Lovely to have you with us today. We've got a sort of charity theme going on, haven't we? But two very different charities today. So who are our guests in the studio?
So we've got Emma McCrudden from Catching Lives, which is an incredibly proactive charity based in Canterbury, servicing the homeless and vulnerably housed people of Canterbury. So I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about that and how we can get a bit more involved raising the profile of Catching Lives.
Emma, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Lovely to have you with us. And who else have we got with us?
And then we're lucky enough to have Paul Turner from the Marlowe Theatre today with us, fresh back from his holiday, so raring to go.
Also a charitable trust, but obviously much more kind of commercially focused, I think it's fair to say, Paul, in terms of getting bums on seats and then using that income ultimately to invest in community projects and outreach projects.
Absolutely, that's exactly the way our model works. It's all about bums on seats and then investing back into the community at the same
time. And I know you're fresh back off holiday as well from COS yesterday, was it, or Saturday?
Oh, 3 o'clock yesterday morning. Delays at the airport coming home.
So we're very lucky to have you with us as well. But Charlie, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music, and Brilliant. When we come back, we'll talk to Emma.
Look forward to it.
So do stay with us. We'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Good afternoon and welcome back, everybody. Today we've got a fantastic jam-packed studio, charity-based, as we mentioned earlier. Our first guest is the lovely Emma McCrudden from Catching Lives, based in Canterbury. And we were quite excited to hear more about the services that the charity offers. I'm very lucky enough to already know that, working as a trustee in the organisation. But Emma does an awful lot on a day-to-day basis and is an integral point and person within the charity. So Emma, just wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about what Catching Lives does, the services that are offered, and more importantly, we were discussing before how numbers have increased of clients coming to the day centre.
Yes, good afternoon. Catching Lives is a charity for homeless and vulnerably housed in Canterbury and the Canterbury district, so Hope Bay, Whitstable and all the villages in between.
Yeah.
We run from a day centre in just outside Canterbury city centre, and we also have outreach and run a night shelter during the winter months.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you're quite involved with the outreach side of the charity, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I've worked for Catching Lives for 7 years and I've been outreach the whole time.
And we hate using the word COVID because we're all past that now and we're all moving on. But scarily, numbers have increased, haven't they, Emma, of people that you were seeing, vulnerable and homeless people in the local community. Tell us a little bit about why you feel that might be the case or some of the circumstances that your clients are encountering.
Catching Lives are seeing approximately a new face, a new client every other day. Last month, I think we had 18 new clients. The month before, 16. Mm. There's a variety of reasons. Cost of living is obviously a hot topic at the moment and on everybody's lips. But there's also relationship breakdown. People lose their jobs. People maybe move back home to look after parents. The parents sadly die and they're left homeless. Addiction, obviously, is another reason people become homeless, drink drugs. Poor mental health as well is a big one.
And Catching Lives itself, the facility in the centre, offers the tools to try and get people their lives back effectively, doesn't it? You've got mental health professionals there. There's services there to offer clients washing facilities, food facilities, etc. How can people get involved, Emma? How can people help the charity? Because it is a privately owned charity, as it were, and it's a privately funded charity. So raising the profile is incredibly important. And I know that there will be many, many of our listeners out there really looking to help in any way that they possibly can.
Yeah, as you say, we offer breakfast and lunch every day. We offer showers. We have computers. You can use our phone if you haven't got a mobile phone or credit. There are project workers, mental health. We have a nurse drop-in centre, nurse drop-ins from time to time.
Yeah.
We have DWP drops in, Forward Trust, which is the local drug and alcohol service. Mm. Also, housing officers from the local authority drop in. So anything really that helps us deliver all of that. So food, financial donations to buy any of those things.
Absolutely.
For the clients who want to take a shower, we have towels and shampoo, shower gel, all of that. We have all of that. So
it's really about what I'm hearing, Emma, is it's really about helping people get their lives back on track. I mean, all of those things you were just talking about are geared towards helping you get back into the community and live a life again, as opposed to sleeping rough outside and in the city centre in Canterbury.
Yeah, not everybody visits us every day, but they can come and have their breakfast, have a shower, they can stay for lunch, they can sort out their benefits online, They can ring whoever they need to ring, they can talk to us, we can do referrals for housing, local authority, mental health. We have quite a large building that they can stay. Mm-hmm. We're open from 9 till 2, so they can stay for most of the day.
And there's various activities that go on, isn't there, in the day, like artists that come in and some paintworking workshops and various other bits and pieces that clients can get involved with and engaged with.
That's right. After the centre generally shuts at 2, we have art activities, music. We offer days out occasionally for some of our clients as well. Mm. There's lots going on most days.
So Charlie, how have you got involved with Catching Lives and why? I mean, why did you feel, as a business, as Red Key Concepts Design and Build, why did you feel it important to get involved?
Well, being a local family-run business based in Whitstable, we're always trying to do a little bit extra where we can. We can't solve all the problems, unfortunately, in the local community, but certainly areas like homelessness is something that we feel very strongly that we really do want to help support any way that we can do. So I have been lucky enough to be invited to become a trustee of Catching Lives, and already Emma and I have had quite a proactive meeting last week about a charity fundraiser that we're all going to be putting on to try and raise awareness and very much needed funds for single sex secure washing facilities. Currently the centre only offers mixed, and to be quite honest, I probably wouldn't take my shoes off going in there, to be quite honest with you. So that's quite paramount, and we want to get that done before Christmas, definitely, hopefully in the next couple of months. So Emma's been really helpful in helping me and pointing myself and various other trustees on the board that are working on that. And when I found out more about what the charity offered and how it treats its clients, it doesn't just put an elastoplast on a problem, it proactively deals, and that's what I felt really attracted to, because you can see results being made. So I'm really pleased and excited to be working with the charity.
And it is in Canterbury. You do really see it in Canterbury, don't you? I mean, whether you're driving around the Ring Road or just kind of spending any time in Canterbury, it really strikes you, the number of homeless people that there clearly are, sleeping rough, in the evenings, and maybe in the summer it's not so difficult for them, because we've been blessed with warm weather. But in the winter, that must become a huge problem, you know, for people sleeping rough, you know, for their health. And I'll bring Paul in now as well from the Marlow, because, you know, Paul, obviously you're very much an integral part of the business improvement district. You know, what's kind of been going on at that level, you know, within the BID team at Canterbury to kind of to look at this and kind of tackle this as well?
Well, there's certainly lots of feedback from members of the BID. Remembering the Canterbury BID is centre of Canterbury, and there's discussion around all the time with the members of the BID about what can we do to help tackle this, and you know, and that's what we've got to keep trying to do. And actually the elastoplast conversation we're just having then is exactly what we don't want to happen. We need these long term fixes to get stuff sorted out. What I do think is, which has come, and I know we don't want to talk about the pandemic, what happened during the pandemic when there was a lot of central government and local government support for all of this, the fact is it literally got turned off overnight. Mm. That's the most disappointing thing, because there was, and I know there was empty hotels and that was able to assist to help that happen, but they found money at that point to support these individuals, and you're just disappointed that they didn't come with a better plan. Once
more of a long-term
solution. That was their opportunity to think about how to tackle this. And you know, we want everybody to be safe at the end of the day as well. And you know, and the Canterbury BID obviously wants that to happen in the district as well for Canterbury. We want Canterbury to be, you know, a lovely, attractive place for everybody to live and be safe, and you know, and that's for everybody, not just visitors on the daytime or anything like that. Everybody, you know, ultimately, in the evening, when you do go out after a show in Canterbury, you can see the level of homelessness in Canterbury when you walk through that.
It's quite striking.
It is. It's really a high number. Mm. And, you know, Catching Lives doing great stuff, trying to keep people safe. Mm. You know?
And I think that's the important thing. I think raising awareness as to why there is an increase in people becoming homeless, because no one wants to be homeless. And at the recent meeting that we've had at the charity, there is a huge increase in younger women on the streets now through fleeing domestic violence situations. And I think the most important thing is to address why there is that increase, especially locally. So it does open a much bigger Pandora's box, as it were. But I know the charity would be really pleased to hear from the BID with regards to how they can assist further.
Right. Look, I think what we'll do, guys, this is obviously a massive topic. What I'd like to do when we come back, we're going to play a little bit of music, but when we come back, I'd like to kind of explore how, you know, we can all get involved, really, whether it be in Canterbury. I know we have some fantastic initiatives here in Folkestone as well, helping homeless people. How we as businesses and individuals can get more involved, Emma, to actually make a real difference here and have an impact. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show today. We've got two super guests in the studio. We've just been talking with Emma McCrudden at Charity Catching Lives, homeless charity Catching Lives, based in Canterbury. We've also got Paul Turner with us, who is the finance director at the Marlow Theatre, which is also a charitable trust, as it happens, based in Canterbury. But Emma, I'd like to come back to you if we can. We were talking off air about some of the challenges in terms of funding in particular at the moment, and everybody competing for what seems to be an ever-decreasing amount of money to help the most vulnerable people in society. So, you know, what do you guys see as the sort of the some of the initiatives that you think local or central government should be spearheading in order to kind of look after people better? What can we be doing more of?
It seems that money is being taken out of service like mental health, for example. The threshold has changed for someone to get mental health help in the local area. And although there is money going into homelessness from, you know, the government, which is great, actually there still isn't enough to go around. We're still struggling to fund, you know, certain aspects of it. We have local authorities, not just ours but up and down the country, sending people into temporary accommodation that's out of area, so they're away from their their support network, so they have to leave their GP, mental health, their families, friends, etc., to go maybe for a couple of months, but maybe for anything up to 12, 18 months out of area.
And effectively sort of start again, as it were, in quite quite stressful circumstances.
Yeah.
Then that must be incredibly stressful in its own right, you know, being told that we can't help you here, but we're going to move you to, you know, Lancashire or wherever it might be, where we've got some availability, some beds or whatever it might be. And I think it's sort of typical of the care system in general, isn't it? Because, I mean, I know where I live in Thanet, you know, we used to have a school for the blind, we used to have a school for the deaf, and it seems to me that, you know, all these facilities are all being kind of marginalised more and more.
Yeah.
And, you know, there seems to be less and less, as you said, money available to go round, you know, for really worthy and important projects like this. It's really... It's not a good trend, is it?
It's really not a good trend, but there are so many local businesses out there, like ourselves, Ricky Concepts Design and Build Limited, that are really happy to help and do what we can. As I said earlier, it's not redesigning the wheel, as it were, but giving some kind of recognition to the charities out there, and that's both with, you know, finding out more about how businesses can work with the Marlowe Theatre as well and the Marlowe Trust and supporting them. And I think where we now know that we are having or receiving cuts from the government, there's not an awful lot we can really do about that in the short term, but what we can do as business owners is meet with businesses and charities like the two guests here today, and I think it's raising profiles that is going to be the next step, I think, for all local businesses.
That's a really good point, isn't it? So we don't, you know, we don't have to wait for government intervention and government health or local authority, you know, help in this instance. You know, businesses and as individuals, we can all get involved, can't we, to make a difference? And I think, you know, let's talk about some of those kind of initiatives in terms of, you know, volunteering, for example. Presumably you work with volunteers, or your day centre in Canterbury makes use of the local community in terms of volunteer resource to help it run and function.
Yes, we do. Our kitchen actually wouldn't function. Mm. The breakfast and the lunches are cooked and served every day, 7 days a week, by volunteers.
Right.
There are no paid staff that work in the kitchen, and we have a fantastic group of volunteers that do all sorts for us. The kitchen, volunteer project work, outreach as well.
Yeah, so, what better way to get involved and give some of your time? And we've got some great, you know, local... you know, supported living charities here in Folkestone as well. We've got the Rainbow Centre, which is a Christian charity. We've got Sanctuary Supported Living locally in Folkestone and Hythe, for example. Most people have a Salvation Army in their local town. So giving up some of your time to actually work in the kitchen in that example is a really important thing for you to be able to tap into to help you operate ultimately, isn't it, day to day?
Yes, it is. Charities only have so much money. I mean, obviously, I can speak from Catching Lives' point of view. Where there isn't an endless pot of cash to employ new staff. So, volunteers is a you know.
Okay, so give up some of your time. Think about if you have got time, you know, and giving up some of that time to volunteer. Fundraising, Charlie, I know that you're working together, you guys, at the moment to create a fundraising initiative. So, you know, how can businesses, how do you work with businesses on that level, for example?
Well, I think the charity, when I met with them as a business before I was involved on the trustee side, I was quite impressed with how the charity makes waves and the difference that it does make. But anything from, I mean, I'm personally giving up my time, as do most of the volunteers, and we've been in discussions with some fantastic local venues and local alcohol producers, so some fantastic wineries and some local sort of wine and cheese establishments, and these people are local businesses, and they are offering food and for a charity fundraiser, and they're offering to work in partnership with the charity and myself and the committee to put this charity fundraiser together. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest, we've only been working on it for a week and a half, but we're really overwhelmed because people are looking and seeing what can they do. I think the last 18 months has told us, you know, if you can do anything, just do what you can. And it's, you know, if you can be anything, be kind. And everyone can do their own little bit. So
that's because no one can refuse you, Charlie. That's
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, though. But hopefully we'll make lots and lots of money. Yeah.
So we could come to you, Emma, and say, look, you know, we'd like to get involved. You know, can we do some kind of fundraiser within our business and actually donate the money to you? And you'd be quite happy to have that conversation in terms of, you know, working with that business to kind of perhaps create a small scale event. I mean, obviously the types of events Charlie tends to get involved with, I know firsthand, are obviously on quite a large scale, and she mobilises the entire business community. But individual businesses could come to you and say, look, you know, we'd really like to get behind behind the work that you guys are doing. What could we do? And you would work with them, presumably, to come up with some ideas there.
Yes, of course, we're not going to say no.
Yeah.
We're always grateful for our local community. They kind of take us to heart.
Yes.
We, you know, in the past, we've had an elderly couple just add us to their shopping list with tea, coffee, biscuits that they donated. You know,
well, that's a great example, isn't it? I mean, I was in my local supermarket the other day, and I was amazed at how full the kind of the metal
food bank,
yes, the food
is.
Bank,
yeah,
basket was,
yeah,
that had been placed, you know, at the end of the aisle. So people are very willing to do that, aren't they? And I guess we could just drop those items in at your day centre, presumably. I can roll up with a shopping bag full of stuff and just give it to you. Tea
Absolutely.
Bags, whatever it might
be. There is, sorry to interrupt, there is also a Catching Lives bookshop, and that's in Canterbury, in one of the old oldest buildings in Canterbury, opposite this King's School. What's the name of the building? Sorry, Emma.
It's the Crooked Bookshop.
The Crooked Bookshop. And I know they're always looking to take in donations of books.
Yeah.
But also, just to make you aware, sometimes people do come with additional baggage in the nicest possible way, i.e. animals and pets.
Right.
And currently the centre has some goldfish that they're looking after for a client who is having a little bit of respite, should we say, but also, you know, various other animals, so, you know, that are having to be rehoused too.
Gosh.
So
you really do get involved at all levels, don't you?
Yes, we do. Fantastic. We try not to say no to,
anything.
We'll say no to as little as possible, but it isn't always possible. But
well,
pets as well.
On that basis, give us a shout out for your website, how we can find out more about you, how we can get involved. I guess the website is the kind of the first port of call for most people when they're doing their kind of research. So what is your website address, and how can we get in touch with you, and how can we pop in? Where are you exactly in Canterbury?
You can just search for us at Catching Lives on the internet, and you just click on the website and go on whichever bit that you're interested in. There's an info@catchinglives.org, or you can contact me, Emma@catchinglives.org.
And where exactly are you in the town as a day centre?
We're on Station Road East, which is right across the road from Canterbury East Station. Yeah,
right.
Just outside the city centre.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, Emma, thank you so much for joining us today. And Charlie, also your input in terms of, you know, how you're working with Catching Lives. You know, I think it's just something that we're all becoming more acutely aware of in terms of not leaving the vulnerable people in society behind. You know, I think that for me is the key thing.
Absolutely, and with numbers increasing as much as they are, one extra client a day in Canterbury locally, I mean, that's pretty shocking in itself.
It is,
so
isn't it?
Thank you, Emma, and the team for all the hard work that you're doing. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thank you for having us.
Fantastic. We're going to play a little bit of music, but do stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to be talking with Paul Turner at the Marlow Theatre and finding out about all the exciting things that are going on there. So stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today with Charlie Graham-O'Gillam, my co-host.
Afternoon,
Charlie. We have two super guests in the studio with us, as always. We've been talking with Emma McCrudden from homeless charity Catching Lives, based in Canterbury. And now we're going to have a quick chat with Paul Turner, who is the finance director from the Marlowe Theatre, also in Canterbury, and also a charitable trust. Paul, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you in the studio, Paul. For those that don't know much about the Marlowe, tell us about your journey in terms of becoming a charitable trust and what that actually means in terms of the work that you now do in terms of engaging with the local community.
Yeah, so in 2018, we left local authority management and become an independent charitable trust. We've got a board of trustees, and Deborah Shaw was our chief exec. Paula Gillespie is our chief operating officer, and then there's me as well. We're the executive, and we're there to lead the organisation through its next stage of the Marlowe, really. And we've had massive growth since we reopened back in 2011. Mm. So yeah, it's our turn to steward this massive ship through its next exciting phase of work. And we're already doing great stuff, and we've got wonderful audiences that support us throughout the pandemic and come back in their droves and loving coming to watch these great shows that we've got coming. But, you know, we are a charitable trust and we're not for profit. So We look to invest our money back into our building, into the community as well, by taking these world-class artists that we have come to Canterbury and embedding them into working with local schools, with local disability groups as well, and really engaging with our community to give them a lifelong love for theatre, because we're in a bit of a boom period, really, where people really love to come and watch a musical or a play or pantomime. Everybody loves to come do that, but where's our next audience coming from? And that's the big challenge for us, is to do that next thing. Where's our next audience? And so, you know, I'm sure us four sitting here today love to go and watch a show, and we got given that opportunity in our life to do that. It's now our job to make sure that we're giving that opportunity to other people in our community, certainly in our schools as well, to enjoy theatre and not just come to watch a show, but actually get the opportunity to make theatre and engage with them artists as well. So we've got major production companies that come to us, which we now have a memorandum of understanding with them organisations. If you come to us and put a show on our stage, actually there's something else that you need to do for us as well, and that's actually help us develop our next audiences, get into that community and make a difference to people's lives, and not just put a show on the stage.
Well, I'd like to come back to that in the second part of our conversation today, but for those of you out there listening who are thinking, you know, okay, it's school holidays and perhaps looking further afield, tell us about some of the kind of blockbuster stuff that you guys are producing between now and Christmas, because I know it's always an exciting lineup.
Yeah, the summer into autumn season is always super, super busy for us. And actually this week, starting this week, we've got a show called The Waitress, which is brilliant musical, which has sold really, really well for us as well, but there's still tickets available for that one. Then we go into a run of stuff like We Will Rock You and Mamma Mia in for 2 weeks, and who doesn't like a bit of Mamma Mia in the summer? We all love it.
Who was it I was talking to the other day? Oh yes, bless her, Victoria Galvin, who was hosting the chamber networking at the theatre on Wednesday last week, said to me, "Do you know what, I don't like Mamma Mia, I don't get it."
There's a few out there that don't.
She must be in the minority. Yeah. So you've got Mamma Mia. What's coming on after that? I've recently been looking at tickets for Les Mis.
Yeah, so Les Mis was originally going to be with us in October 2020, and then something happened. And then so we've been very lucky enough to move that show into this year. So that's coming in with us for 5 weeks in Canterbury, which is, outside of Panto, we've never had a run of a show of that length before. And that's part of the power of the new Marlowe, and evidence to these large producers of that we can get the audiences to come and watch it. But huge audiences that come in, over 400,000 a year we aim for. And that's going to be an absolutely amazing 5-6 weeks for Canterbury, and not just for the Marlowe. Obviously it's superb and makes my life a lot easier being the FD when you see a show and that many people come through for the building, because that's the business driver. But actually for seeing the rest of Canterbury thrive as well, the businesses certainly in the hospitality sector come in as well. Even the hotels see a massive upturn when, you know, where else can they see Limits at the moment in the UK? Yes, it's on tour. You can go to the West End of London, but, you know, you could just come into Canterbury to do it as well. So we're incredibly lucky to have that.
So you're in one of those sort of, you're the upper echelon of theatres in terms of being able to attract those large shows, because they won't go everywhere, will they?
No. So you need to have a certain number of seats to make it economically viable for a producer. I mean, and their costs have gone absolutely astronomical to make a show and tour a show as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's where we sit. We sit in that top bracket of types of shows that we can attract.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we only do their massive, huge shows. Mm. We do plays as well. And
comedy nights.
Comedy is superb for us in Canterbury.
We get live at the Marlowe.
Mm. Yeah, live at the Marlowe. We was lucky enough to have Michael McIntyre just before I went on holiday, actually, as well. We just got a broad range of stuff that we do. And I always say to everybody that we don't have an audience. We're lucky enough to have audiences.
Yes.
So we have our comedy, we have our musical, we have our panto. And a lot of them do cross over into different stuff. But generally, the fact that we have such a broad range gives us a broader audience as well.
Yeah.
And our job as well is also to, you know, entice somebody that does come to watch a musical is why not try a play? Why not come and try some classical music as well?
Yeah.
And we work really hard with our orchestra, that's our resident orchestra, which is the Philharmonia.
Yeah.
And there's a great production coming up really soon, actually, where the 90-piece orchestra on our stage just playing the music of Harry Potter.
Mm.
And that's
brilliant.
Now that should be a sellout, especially in Kent, surely. Yeah. That's going
to
sell out.
So that's what we really work hard to make sure, you know, and hopefully they will get a flavour of that and certainly my daughter's, she's 19 and she said, Dad, I must go and watch that.
And you're absolutely right. You've got to try these things. I was at the Leeds Castle open air concert a few weeks back, and they had the Royal Philharmonic that were playing. And I'm not a sort of, a typical sort of orchestra, kind of fan or avid listener. But as you say, when they start to play contemporary music that people can identify with, and they played everything from E.T. through to Harry Potter, you know, it really sort of stirs an emotion in you. You think, my God, these people are so talented. They could play anything and I would listen to it. You know, it's just amazing.
People don't really realise what classical music they listen to on a daily basis. Mm. And, you know, there's most teenage boys who are sitting on that Xbox at the moment are probably listening
to
a classical orchestra playing that soundtrack to that game in the background.
And on that note, I was really looking forward to the Ibiza Classics from the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. There was a whole gang of us 1990 Ibiza originals, and sadly
one we lost, unfortunately.
Yeah, what a shame.
Sadly, hope to see that back at the Marlowe.
You mentioned the P word.
Oh, the panto.
So tell us, what is it this year?
So we've got Sleeping Beauty this year, and we're super excited. And of course, last year we did get Panto of the Year as well with our co-producers Evolution Productions, but it was just amazing. And I was there at the ceremony, so it was always lovely.
And well deserved. Yeah. The panto at the Marlowe starts Christmas for us in our household.
So this year we've got an amazing cast. So we've got Ovio Dube, who of course won Strictly a few years ago as well.
Yeah.
And we've actually got Carrie Hope Fletcher, which I think will be bringing in a whole new audience for us as well. So she's a YouTube blogger. She's a West End performer. She's currently Cinderella in the West End.
Wow.
Fantastic.
At the moment, if anybody's been to Marlowe in the last few years would have seen her in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as Truly Scrumptious. And also we had a production of The Addams Family, and she played Wednesday, and she was absolutely brilliant playing Wednesday as well on that. And she is an absolute superstar and social media sensation. So, you know, watch out for our socials, because I'm sure we're going to have great fun with her.
Yeah.
And of course, Ben Roddy.
Yep,
Brilliant Ben Roddy.
Yeah. Brilliant Ben Roddy. He can tell you he's brilliant as well.
Yes.
He's actually very modest. He's a lovely man.
He's absolutely great, and he's a huge supporter of the theatre as well. I mean,
you
know, in all joking aside, Ben does do lots of other work as well, but he's a huge part of the Marlowe. And actually, this year we had our first ever Marlowe Theatre Awards for our staff, and Ben came in and presented them to our staff, which was an absolutely brilliant afternoon.
Superb.
Was he in character or not?
No.
Which one?
Ben himself sometimes is a character. He can't help but perform, but he's a great supporter, and actually Canterbury based as well.
Brilliant. Well, fantastic, Paul. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, I'd like to sort of put our business hats on and talk about your 5-year plan as a theatre and some of those kind of community outreach programmes that are going on, all that exciting stuff to get young people, into theatres and motivated perhaps about a career in the theatre moving forward. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this bit of music.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect show today, everybody. We're talking with Paul Turner at the moment, who is the finance director at the Marlow Theatre. And Paul, I'd like to pick up on something that we kind of talked about at the beginning of our conversation. That's really what you guys are up to in terms of a five-year plan, really, for the Marlow. Because obviously you have got to plan ahead, not just with booking shows, but like all businesses, you need to have a business plan. So tell us what your ambition is as a theatre moving forwards.
So moving forward, we've got some real key areas that we want to do. One's audience development, attracting new audiences. That's going to be huge for us. Then also about our next phases of our next workforce, really, as well, looking at that. So we're looking really closely about working with local universities and further education bodies to engage with them, to give people the opportunity to learn about theatre and to work in theatre. And also not just working in theatre in the sense of, you know, working on stage or anything like that as well. You know, we're actually a massive hospitality venue as well. Mm. And we're, you know, we've got a finance team, we've got a marketing team, we've got building services team. So there's plenty of opportunities to people to work in our industry, and that's a huge area that we're looking to further develop. But of course, skills development in actual theatre as well is going to be huge for us, because where's the next generation of workers going to come from for us? The pandemic ended with people leaving the industry because what was going to happen to us? We was all shut for 18 months. So, you know, we've got a real focus on that. And then also is our engagement with schools as well, to make that lifelong love of theatre to be embedded in people's lives from a very early stage as well. So we're working really hard on a project at the moment called the Marlow Kit, which is, thankfully for us, has had huge support from the National Lottery Heritage Fund and also from the Architectural Heritage Fund as well, and another charity called Pilgrim's Trust as well, to put us into a position about making that a learning centre, which would hopefully attract some funding, so that we're ensuring that we're getting that next generation of people to be engaged in theatre, to have world-class artists and producers and you know, our staff as well, actually, who are just amazing, to deliver opportunities for people to work in theatre, create theatre as well.
And yes, because presumably you want to get into producing more of your own shows moving forward.
The big thing for us is to put us into that skills development area, so that actually we're ready to produce our own work. And that's stuff that we've done in our studio before, and we've done obviously something in Dover as well at the port before as well. But you know, we're looking to make work in Canterbury as well, because I mean, that's going to give huge growth for jobs in the district as well. And, you know, we've got the people here in Kent that can do this. Yeah. And,
so it's good to hear that you're sort of trying to organically grow now the Marlow, with the new Marlow, using your words as well, which is great. I mean, what's not to love about that, I think, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge opportunity for us to you know, we're generally a receiving house. We do co-produce our pantomime, and we do work with other producers as well to create content. But to make something in Canterbury and potentially even take that elsewhere and you know, something sat on
a touring production.
Stage in Sheffield, for example, made in Canterbury, would be absolutely amazing to do that. And we are totally dedicated to making sure that happens. Deborah Shaw, our chief exec, who's created some wonderful content elsewhere before in her life as well, is passionate about making sure that's the next phase for the Marlow is to do that. And we've got huge partners we can do that with. I mean, Evolution Productions, who we work with for our pantomime, make 8 pantos across the UK. The production facility suite is in Kent. We can make stuff there to do that and create jobs in Kent to make it happen.
Now, I can't let you go today before you tell us about, you've got a fabulous business membership as well, that small businesses locally can get involved with, and I know you have some fantastic patrons behind that as well. So tell us a little bit about that. Well, you know, what's the benefit for me as a business to become a member of the Marlow?
I think one thing is definitely brand exposure for companies to be on our website and on our foyer screens as well. But actually, I think it's a huge benefit for staff as well, because their staff will get the opportunities to buy tickets earlier and a discounted price as well, because the business is invested in it as well. And then, of course, once you do that, you get invited to Matt's brilliant networking events as well, which are always great. And he works really hard at having them, and sometimes we have them themed. I dare say he'll have a panto themed one in his mind.
Let's hope so. We'll be there, won't we, Martin?
We had a tour last week of the theatre, and we went on stage, and we went up in the right up in the roof, and that tiny little room up there where the lighting guy sits in 100 degree heat.
Yeah, he's got aircon, so it's fine. Yeah, but yeah, they that starts from about £450.
Yes.
For
great
each
value.
Business,
yeah.
And it goes up depending on how many staff you've got.
Yeah.
But also mentioned in our brochure as well, and it's an on sale today for our friends, and the brochure goes out to over 80,000 people, and also in the foyer people pick up their brochures as well as they come through on a daily basis. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great exposure and a good value, and hopefully, you know, people use it for their staff to really give them an opportunity to enjoy life, because that's what it's all
so
about.
So another opportunity for local business owners out there, because there's many of you out there that can support local charities and do your bit.
Yeah. So on that basis, how do we get in touch, whether we're interested in booking tickets to a show, we've got all these blockbusters coming down the pipe, or we want to inquire about business membership with Matt, for example, Matthew Clark, how do we get in touch with the Marlowe? What's the best way to do all of that?
Well, the website's your first port of call. We're at marlowefitter.com. Everything's on there. Mm. Every show you can book there. Yeah. You don't even have to pick up a phone to book with us. You can just do it all online. But, of course, the phone lines are there as well. And get in contact. Everything's there. Friends membership, business memberships, all the shows. Youth Theatre as well, if anybody's out there and looking to get their kids into a youth theatre class, we do that as well. Obviously, engaging with them schools as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Paul, it's been great to have you with us today. Thank you so much for telling us all about the exciting things that are going on at the Marlowe. It's been brilliant. But also, Emma, lovely to hear about a very different charity, but equally engaged with the local community in terms of being a force for good. And it's really nice to hear that kind of, that community engagement that you've both got going on there. Mm. So thank you both so much for joining us today. Charlie, you've been great. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
as well.
For letting me witter on, as always, Martin, and lovely guests, but thank you.
And thank you so much to our listeners also for joining us, as always, though. Hopefully there's been some food for thought in terms of what we've been discussing today. And I think, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier, just that kind of raising of awareness about, you know, the people around us who perhaps aren't so fortunate, and what we can do, you know, to contribute to making their lives better.
Yeah,
ultimately.
And if you want to do something, you can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we will be back in 2 weeks' time with another couple of guests. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. We've been the BizConnect Radio Show, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.